But let's dig down a little bit deeper here, because they had some interesting debates, I think, and discussions about the notion of irresistible grace, and we talked about conversion and the new birth. Let's talk about this for a minute. Do either one of you believe that the new birth actually precedes or needs to precede repentance or faith? Is there a chronological order? Do you believe that's simultaneous? We shouldn't be talking about one before the other. There are some people who even thought years ago that someone could be awakened and regenerate maybe several days before they would repent or believe. What do you think about this notion?
Well, I'll go ahead and tip my hand. Again, I believe that they happen simultaneously, that conversion, regeneration, repentance, and faith are all instantaneous. Now, that does not handle the logical question or the theological question. But again, I beg out. There's a good Calvinist named Anthony Hokema who begged out with me, or actually I'm begging out with him, who said, I'm simply going to affirm again the simultaneous occurrence of those, and I'm not going to say, of course he would not. I do not know a Calvinist that would say repentance and faith precedes regeneration. I struggle to say that because I don't know how a dead person spiritually can repent and exercise faith. I don't think it's possible. In fact, I'm quite sure it's not possible. And I do believe dead in Ephesians 2:1 means dead.
Yes.
It's not like, well, you know, dead can just mean separate. No. The rest of the text makes it clear the wrath of God abides on them. They walk according to the prince of the power of the air. They are by nature children of, I mean, it's just strong language. So they have to be made alive in Christ. That works in perfect harmony with repentance and faith. How? That's God's business.
Anything to add to that, Dr. Carter?
No, I agree with man. Is as messed up as the Bible says he is. God's got to give faith as a gift, but I'm not saying, I think it's the logical order.
It is.
I think it's virtually contemporaneous. But I just remember, I was a preacher's kid, and we were at church forever, every time the door was open. My mom was the WMU president, and I just thought if we ever got hit in the car and all killed, we'd all go to heaven on the family plan. And I heard a lot of gospel, and then one day I just got terrified, and I thought, wait a second, this is your deal, Coppinger. And I remember it was after Bible school, the final service, and he started talking about sin. I thought, who told on me? He didn't know I'd been into something. I don't know what it was at the time, but it was something probably illegal. But at any rate, I can remember very clearly that conviction and that just sweatiness and asking my mom, you know, what could. And I had heard the gospel 1,000 times, but then he visited me in power, and then he gave me the awakening as I heard the gospel that, thank God, faith can save me and stuff. So I think he gave it to me. But I'm not saying it's, you know, it's like one of these second blessing things, like, you know, you kind of get saved, and then after a while, if you watch the right TV, you can get the
Spirit. I think we have to say that Ephesians 2 is clear, that saving faith is a gift of God.
Yeah.
Now, ever how it fleshes out in some of these nuances, we have to at least start there and recognize my faith was not something I conjured up by, you know, just,
yeah.
No, sir. God gave it to you as a gift.
Right.
Otherwise, you would not have it.